Mobile. We moved out to Mobile in 1997. We continued on that path of working inside prisons there in Atmore and other places, and then started working with youth also. And in 2001, there was a big police ambush in the Queens Court apartments that some people may remember. And we felt God nudge us to make a more kind of a steady, constant impact inside one of these neighborhoods, right? And that's where we started. On December 20th of 2001, we began Light of the Village in the Queens Court apartments. That apartment complex was closed a few months later, and then we sought out another neighborhood, and Alabama Village was perfect. And that's where God put us. Mm-hmm. And so we went there, found an old house. It was actually being used as a, well, they called them crack houses. They don't really call them that anymore. But it was a crack house at the time, and we were able to purchase it through the ministry. And slowly but surely it built. We really thought it would just be maybe a 1 or 2 day a month kind of Christian duty kind mm-hmm. of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, that was not God's plan. Mm. And as we worked that neighborhood, met more people, developed relationships, it just continued to grow slowly but steadily. And in 2007 is when we kind of hit our main point where both Dolores and I had to reevaluate our careers because the ministry had gotten so big. It was time to switch. And so we went basically like we are today, 5 days a week. And it's just been amazing to meet the people. The community out there calls it God's house and our home, which is it's huge. It's not John and D'Lo's house. They call Dolores D'Lo. It's not our house. It's God's house first, but the community calls it their home, which is so amazing and remarkable. And so with that, our services have been adjusted over the years. Primarily, we work with young people, you know, doing Bible studies in the afternoon, after-school programs, tutoring, those types of things. And then in 2007, those little kids that we met back in 2001, 2002 were getting older, so then we started a teenage program. I went out to Los Angeles to learn about gang intervention. I didn't know anything about it. I realized that. So, boom, we went out there to find the nation's best practice for gang intervention. Father Greg Boyles does that. Been out there several times. And then they started coming here to evaluate our program and to help us to, again, build those genuine relationships with the people in the community. And so that was pretty good. And then, of course, we started adult programs as well. So as we look at it today, we were able to make it a full circle ministry, again, to build individual relationships with kids, with teenagers, with adults. And it's been fantastic. And of course, it's a Christian ministry. It's not a social service program. It's a straight up ministry, man, and not from the suite, but from the street. And it's been an amazing ride. And we don't feel, really that it humbles us, right?
Yeah.
That we've been given this mission, and it's so serious, man.
By the way, Dalton, I've been along for the ride as a board member for maybe 14 years now, or something like that. That's the thing that will strike you about it. It's so genuine, mm-hmm. and it's so one-on-one, and knowing all the kids' names and their stories, and it can be kind of upsetting because some of the stories are they're hard to listen to.
I can't imagine, and I think of so many charities that we've all heard of that mean well, but it must do something entirely different when you've been here 20 years and you're able to really put roots down. Some of these charities that raise money, it's all great, but to actually physically try to help these kids in a neighborhood, generations, you've gone now one full generation, that has to be, you must be able to do a lot more change when you're able to stay in a place and really get to know the people.
Absolutely. Being consistent, being genuine are the keys. I mean, again, to reflect the faith, love, and hope, of Christ, of course, requires that, to be genuine, to be sincere, and to endure hardship. Dan's is familiar. We have a memorial wall. As of last month, we've buried 48 people.
Oh, my goodness.
All taken violently over the years. And these are people we know and people that Dan knows. I mean, it's not a fairy tale, It's a tough ride, but at the same time, you have to kind of go, like the Bible says, where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. Absolutely. And it's not our light. We just reflect it and get to see it.
And I also want people to know that John also has got a side to him. He's a former paratrooper. Yeah. And he holds these kids to a standard. Mm-hmm. And I've been in an occasion where a Bible study with John, and then kids are acting up a little bit. And then he says, would you like to, you think it's funny. Is it funny that I'm the one that goes down to the morgue to identify, and the room quiets up and everybody's back in line pretty quickly? Because they know the depth of his love and concern for them, and they respect him. And it's something really special to see. Thank you for allowing me to witness all that.
Yes, sir.
And it's been amazing, the opportunity I've had.
And John, we just got done talking with Quinn Hillier about some of the failings in education in the state, which, you know, no one by themselves can solve. But I know you guys are also helping the youth with their schooling and helping them get through school, and maybe not even just with what they're supposed to be learning, but just getting to work and getting the stuff done that they're supposed to get done, right?
Exactly right. And it's like Dan says, to control the room, that took about 10 years to earn that respect. Mm. Again, these kids don't fear anything. So if somebody thinks, well, I'm a big, you know, scary person, they don't care. Mm. But it's that respect. And in all honesty, and you've seen this too, Dan, my wife, D'Lo, can handle the room even better. And some of our staff, you know, that have been there for many years.
D'Lo's,
like, you know, Biz and Morgan.
5 foot one, D'Lo.
Yeah. And they will listen only because of that respect, because that relationship has been built.
Yeah.
Education, a huge part of it. And what's been amazing, Dalton, is that so many volunteers now can come, like today for our after-school program, a myriad of volunteers. I mean, older people, younger people, white, black, the race doesn't matter. They will come and sit down with these kids and help them, you know, learn how to read one-on-one.
Mm.
Fantastic. And so, and then the kids, to see the kids get all excited to grow. And then whoever is their caregiver, whether it be their mother, grandmother, whatever, they get excited too because their kids are learning. And this helps the school teachers who, let's be honest, have a very tough job.
Mm-hmm.
Dan's been with me when I drive the van to pick up at Whitley Elementary. But what a great relationship we have with that school system.
Right.
So it's so much about relationships and building that with a variety of folks, whether it be the local schools. The Parks and Recs allow us to go into several facilities and do the program, not just during the after-school programs, but during the summer. And, fantastic. And as you guys know, you know, we don't charge a dime. We don't want any child to be prohibited from coming because they can't come up with those funds, right? And so it's amazing. I mean, it really is.
So one of the days I was there, Dalton, this was years ago, a little guy showed up. He lived across the creek in the apartments.
In Gulf Village.
And he showed up. And there was no parent or anybody around him. He was really young. And he was like 4 years old. And John said, oh, he's been coming over here since he was two.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So this kid would just show up. He knew where the fun was. And it wasn't a long walk, but it was a long walk when you consider he's by himself and he's that young.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's the kind of thing that goes on there. And now we've got a special evening, and it's kind of for the supporters, but it's also for people that don't know about Light of the Village. Can you talk about that, when it is, and what it's all about?
Sure. We call it the Night in the Light event, and some people assume it's just a fundraiser. It is not a fundraiser per se. It's a celebration. We want to, again, confirm people that have made donations over the years, because about 78% of our donations come from individuals, which is just awesome. And we want them to feel, you know, have a night where they can celebrate what that money has gone towards. And so what we do is we come together and we keep it quick. We have good food. Chef Rob provides food. We spend a little extra to make the night special. So when people come, they leave wanting more. And of course, Dan, you're our MC, so we appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And basically what we do is we give an overview of the ministry, how we got there, how we are today as far as our protocols and our, you know, how we handle money and our board and so forth. But then this year is really special. Joseph Brennan, who you know very well, who's done several videos for us, he has actually followed our staff around for the last year and is going to showcase their stories. Wow. And yeah, it's one of those questions that have been asked for us for a couple of years. You know, tell us more about the staff, because we have 8 people on our staff, and Dolores and I are actually the lowest paid members of our staff, which is perfect because, again, we want to invest in the ministry to last longer than us. But the other 6 members, you know, their stories are amazing, and they've dedicated their lives to this. And in fact, our average length of employment is over 10 years.
That's amazing, because it is such hard work.
It's hard work. I mean, so this night, this special night, which again will be on the 24th, the Thursday night, at starting at 6:30 out at the grounds, we're going to do the basics, and then we're going to see this film and really celebrate those who serve.
Awesome. So folks that maybe you didn't even even hear about Light of the Village this interview, they can also come?
Absolutely, okay. Yes. In fact, you go to our website, lightofthevillage.org. Just it's right on there. Just scroll down, and you will see the event mentioned.
There's also a little film that's kind of that can give you a better idea of what the Light of the Village is, and then you can buy your tickets online.
Fantastic. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
That's really well done. Also, if someone can't make it out for that and they want to volunteer or otherwise donate, how can they do so?
Fantastic. The first thing, you know, go to the website. It's all there. And even if you're just kind of interested, what we suggest is kind of what Mother Teresa used to say, come out and see the place.
Yeah.
Come out and take a tour with us. We'd love for you to see not just the neighborhood and all that, but see the kids learning, see the kids being kids. And so we're always open for people to come out and visit.
Mm-hmm.
Call us first so we can meet you and make sure you don't get lost, because there's not many street signs out there. And let us show you around. And then see where God leads you from there, whether it is to volunteer, to support it, whatever it may be. It's fantastic.
I got to get you out there, man. It's just remarkable. And the tour is amazing, because you get the entire clear picture of what's being done and what's surrounding you. What's surrounding you, by and large, is not real good. There's a lot of poverty. There's a lot of people who have got nothing to lose. And you're really swimming uphill. Upstream, but it's done every day out there. So, John, I applaud you as always, and we look forward to a great night.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all very much.
That's March 24th, Night in the Light. Again, lightofthevillage.org, lightofthevillage.org for more information.
It is 8:49 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and Jeff Poore on the way, beginning a little after 9.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.